Like this morning to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I'd like to read the first three verses, very familiar verses to most, verses that we've preached from many, many times through the years, but there's always a message in these verses. And Hebrews chapter 12, reading verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. In these verses, the life that a child of God is to live is, as we can all see, is compared to running a race. The implications of a race are descriptive of the character of the life in which we're to live. It's descriptive of the manner of the life that the child of God is to live. A race implies exertion. If you're in a race, you're going to have to exert yourself. It implies exertion. It implies that which is strenuous. It is a determined effort. This teaches us that the life of a child of God is, of course, not a life of ease and relaxation. Also, a race implies progression. Implies moving forward, not moving backwards. It implies advancement, which teaches us that the life of a child of God is not to be going back. The life of a child of God is not to be stationary, but the life of a child of God is to be progressing and to be advancing. A race implies a goal. There is a goal. There is a finish line that you're trying to get to, something you are trying to accomplish. And this teaches us that the life of a child of God is a pursuit. It is a pursuit after a goal. And that goal, of course, is conformity to Christ. But a race also implies a specified course, a track. It implies running in a certain direction. All the runners are running in the same direction. It is a course which tells us that the life of a child of God is not random. When you think of a race, you don't just think of people just running whichever way they please and wherever they please. It's not a random running, and the Christian life is not a random life. A race implies rules. You can't just run a race any way you please. There are rules. There are limitations. You have to stay in a lane. You have to stay a course. So there are limitations, which tells us again that the life of a child of God is not haphazard. A race implies concentration of purpose. It implies singleness of aim. It implies perseverance. And all of this teaches us that the life that a child of God is called to live is a very serious matter. But we see here in Hebrews 12, in verse 1, that this is a very particular and specific race. It is referred to as the race. But it is also a race in which every one of us must do something with. For it is a race set before us. In other words, it's right there. You have to do something concerning this race. It is a particular race. It is a specific race. And you have to do something with it. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter what your condition, the race is set before us. In other words, this is not a race of your own choosing. This is a race that is set before you. We see also there is a call and there is an exhortation to every child of God concerning this race. And we see it here, let us run the race. That's the exhortation, that's the call. Let us run the race. So we do not take the position of an observer. We are to take the position of a participant. We are to run the race. We do not even take the position of a coach. We are to run the race. Run the race. I remember running cross country in high school. Did it for several years. We had a coach. He was an elderly man. Looked a lot like Brother Sinek. But he would drive along in his car, and he'd say, run, you sissies, run, run. And I used to think, I wish you would get out of that car, you lazy, and run. But that's what a lot of people want to do. They want to be in the car and just drive along and tell everybody else how the race is to be run. But the call is, let us run, let us run the race. We are to be a participant in the race, and those words should always ring in our ears. Let us run the race. No matter what is happening, let us run the race. Now, in our text, we have an instructional manual for running the race. Now, you'll notice in verse 3, the latter part of the verse, you see the words, lest ye. Lest ye. Those two words warn of a danger. They warn of a risk. They are telling us of something that needs to be avoided in this race. And there are two things that he mentions that constitute this danger, that constitute this risk, two things that we are to avoid, and that is weariness and faintness. The one is the cause, the other is the result. But the word wearied conveys the idea of tired, worn out, exhausted, fatigued, spent, drained, worn to a frazzle, if you will. That's what that word wearied means. In the Christian life, each one of us are in danger. We are at risk of becoming wearied, And the danger of becoming wearied is that it leads to the next thing. And that is faint in mind. And faint in mind conveys the idea of becoming half-hearted. You begin to run the race half-hearted. You become weak and feeble. And you become unsteady in your mind. But in our text, we have an instructional manual for running the race. And I believe these first two words, or these two words in verse 3 tell us that if you follow the instructions, you will not become wearied. And you will not faint in your minds. But if you do not follow the instructions, the result is you will become wearied. And the result of becoming wearied is that you will become faint in your mind and you will just put forth a half-hearted effort. And that's where most are today, if they're putting forth any effort. So we want to speak concerning instructions for running the race. And we see five instructions that we must commit ourselves to in running this race. The first is found in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I believe that's telling us that we are to run encouraged. Run encouraged. Now, I believe those words have been greatly misrepresented and abused through the years. It says, wherefore, that is for this reason, pointing back to what is written in Hebrews chapter 11, which of course is the great chapter on faith. The next word is that word seen. It's our English word since. So it's wherefore, or for this reason, since. For this reason, since, we are also compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now most take these witnesses to be saints that have gone on, and they will picture them as they're in the grandstand and they're cheering us along. I believe that is absurd. Well, there's the word witnesses. What else can it mean? Well, think about the word witness. These witnesses refer back to those who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. What does a witness do? Well, a witness bears testimony. That's one of the definitions of a witness. It's someone who bears testimony. Those that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, do they not bear testimony of the power of faith? Do they not bear testimony of the power of faith to do whatever God commands, however difficult it is, however difficult the situation? Here are men and women who bear witness, who bear testimony that faith will enable you to do what God commands. The individuals mentioned in Hebrews 11 were able to obey God. They were able to run a race under very trying circumstances. They were men and women who endured difficulties. They were men and women who endured afflictions and trials and oppositions and obstacles. And they obtained what God promised them. When you consider Abel and Enoch and Noah, and these are just some that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. When you consider these men and you consider Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and Rahab and Gideon and Samson, and the list goes on and on and on. David and Samuel and the prophets. They all ran the race that was set before them. And they ran the race by faith. And that is our encouragement to run the race. It's not that the saints of God are rah, 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 go, go, go. It's that they have bore testimony that the race can be won, that the race can be run. They are our testimony. They are our encouragement. They are a witness from the past that it is possible to run the race, that it is possible to obtain the crown. Those of Hebrews 11 bear witness that God is reliable. They bear witness of that. They bear testimony of that. They are proof positive of God's care. As you run the race, these individuals are proof positive of God's care. They are proof positive of God's sustaining. They are proof positive of God's blessing. They are witnesses that the race can be run. So we should run encouraged. Others have run the race. I'm afraid many times it is true that the days in which we live are in many ways far, far different than days in which anyone else has ever lived. There's no question about that. But at the same time, we cannot develop the attitude or the idea that the race cannot be run today, because it can be. And we have encouragement. We have encouragement. But a failure to be encouraged by these witnesses that God has left us in Hebrews chapter 11 will lead to weariness and faintness of mind. Oh, Brother Dan, all I need is someone to encourage me. Read your Bible. There's encouragement there. There is plenty of encouragement right there. And it's true, we all need encouragement. There isn't anyone here that doesn't need encouragement, but there is encouragement right here. And if we fail to get that encouragement, and a person is not going to fail because Brother Dan didn't encourage them. That's not why they're going to fail. They're not going to fail because Brother Sinek didn't encourage them, or Brother Rich didn't encourage them. That's not why they're going to fail. They're going to become weary because they didn't get encouraged from God's Word. Because the truth is, whether any of you encourage me or not, I can be encouraged just reading God's Word. And whether I encourage you or not, you can be encouraged by reading God's Word. So run encouraged. Secondly, also in verse 1, we see that we're to run free of weights and entanglements. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin, a particular sin, the sin, which doth so easily beset us. Two parts. First of all, let us lay aside every weight. Now, weight is anything that would hinder us from advancing toward conformity to Christ. And many today are trying to run this race while being weighted down with worldly cares. There are the weights of fear. There are the weights of the past. There are the weights of sorrow. My point is, almost anything can become a weight if you allow it. Anything can become a weight. In fact, we see here that a weight is really distinguished from that which is sinful. It says, lay aside every weight, and then it's added, and the sin. So you see, really, the weight here is distinguished from that which is sinful. So a weight can be something that is not necessarily sinful. It's just something that weighs us down. It's something that slows our progress. In other words, in this race, we cannot afford to have our progress slowed down. We cannot afford to be hindered. Therefore, lay aside every weight. Every weight. Whatever it might be. But many today are trying to run the race. They have heavy weights around their ankles. They have cement in their shoes. They're carrying a load upon their back, And they are running uphill and they're wondering, why am I so tired? Lay aside some weights and you'll be amazed at the difference that it can make. And you know what else we do? Not only do we run with weights, but as we run along, we pick up some more. And we pick up some more and we just keep on gathering weights and adding weights to our life and then wondering, why am I so tired? Why am I so faint-hearted? Why can't I put forth the effort that God requires? Because we're weighted down. We're weighted down. And we're all guilty of being weighted down. We're all weighted down, I guarantee it, to some degree. Running with weights will lead to weariness. And the weariness will lead to faintness of mind. So we're told to lay aside the weight. What does that mean? Well, it's what the psalmist talked about in Psalm 55 and 22 when he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. That's what it means. It means that you give that weight, you give that burden to the Lord, whatever it is. The issue here is not what the weight is. The issue is, lay it aside. Lay it aside. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So we're to lay aside. We're to run free of weights. We're also to run free of entanglements. And the sin, which doth so easily beset, and the word beset means entangle, ties us up. You imagine trying to run with your ankles tied and your arms tied together. You're not going to get very far. And that's the problem today. Is people are running, they're weighted down, and their feet are tied. And they're always tripping because they're entangled. In the book of Exodus, chapter 14 and verse 3, when Pharaoh thought, or when Pharaoh knew that the children of Israel were down by the Red Sea, God said, here's what he'll think. He'll think they are entangled in the land and the wilderness has shut them in, and then he'll pursue you. But you know, those words describe many children of God. They are entangled and hemmed in by sin. Sin entangles. Paul wrote in Galatians 5 and verse 1, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Sin entangles. And because sin entangles, sin also trips. But notice it does this very easily. The sin which doth so easily beset us. The sin which doth so easily tie us up. And many are trying to run today. Their feet and their hands are tied by sin. Their minds are bound by sin. Their eyes are blindfolded by sin. And they're trying to run. And they're not getting anywhere. And because they're not getting anywhere, they become weary. And then pretty soon they put forth half-hearted effort. And then if that continues on, there's no effort at all. Because they failed to follow the instructions. And the instructions are, lay aside the weights. Get rid of the sin which does so easily beset us. So many are trying to run the race. They have heavy weights around their ankles. They have cement in their shoes. They're carrying a load upon their back. They're wrapped in something. Their hands are tied with something. And they fail to deal with these weights. They fail to deal with these entanglements. And they're weary and they're faint. And that's where we are today. Thirdly, not only are we to run with encouragement, not only are we to run free of weights and entanglements, but it says in verse 1, run with patience the race that is set before us. The word patience is endurance. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance is the ability to be able to bear trials in a calm way and yet keep going. That's endurance. Endurance is the ability to manifest forbearance under provocation, under strain. It is to be steadfast in the face of opposition, in the face of difficulty and adversity. Now those words, run with patience or run with endurance, tell us something about the race. It tells us that the race has some pains. You don't have to endure that which is enjoyable. You have to endure pain. Pain can be physical. It can be emotional. There's all sorts of pain. And this race involves all sorts of pain. Run the race with patience. It tells us that the race has some trials. The race has some difficulties. There are some obstacles. There are going to be some oppositions. There's going to be some adversity. What are we to do? We're to keep running the race. We're to keep running the race. No matter what the White House does, we're to keep running the race. No matter what anybody else does, we're to keep running the race. Is it going to be difficult at times? Yes, that's why you have to endure. Run with patience. We run this race in a world that is actively opposed to God and is becoming less and less ashamed to show that opposition and to manifest it. What are we to do? We're to run the race. We're to just keep running the race. But it's so hard. It's so difficult. That's why it takes endurance. It takes endurance to run the race. The race is also run in bodies that get tired. They are run in bodies that are breaking down. My body is breaking down. They are run in bodies filled with infirmities. They are run in bodies that are, and our minds are filled with infirmities, and our minds are weak. It takes endurance to run this race. And along the way, as you're running, you're going to encounter some people who are running in the opposite direction. That's difficult. You're going to encounter some individuals that get in the way. They're just always in the way because they refuse to run the race. If someone just sits down in the middle of the track, they're in the way. And if you decide because you're tired, you're just going to sit down for a while, you're in the way. You're in the way. And we have to run the race, and sometimes we have to run around somebody, or we have to jump over them or whatever, because they're in the way. And along the way, there will be those who fall. And along the way, there will be those who stumble. And those who stumble can become obstacles, and those who fall can become obstacles. And along the way, there's going to be some who are trying to pull you down. I'm telling you, it takes endurance to run the race. And sometimes it's going to feel like you're running blindfolded, uphill, and through a minefield. And it's going to take endurance to run this race. But what are we to do? We're to keep on running the race. No matter what happens in my life, no matter what happens in your life, run the race, run the race, run the race. Keep on running the race. We don't have time to quit. This is too important to quit. It's too important to sit down and take a vacation. Run the race. We don't always run at the same pace, but we'd always be running the race. Sometimes we may be limping along. Sometimes we may be wounded. Run the race. You may get wounded along the way, and if you live long enough, you will get wounded along the way. That doesn't give you a reason to sit out of the race. You keep on running the race. Even though you're wounded, you keep on running. It takes endurance to run this race. Fourthly, we're to run focused. And I believe these next two is the way, is where we find the endurance that it takes to run the race. Endurance is not something that you just wake up with. It's not something that you just determine in your mind, I'm going to endure. It is a result of doing something. And here it is the result, first of all, of running focused, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. So-and-so is fallen, looking unto Jesus. So-and-so is in the way, looking unto Jesus. There's an obstacle. There's so many difficulties. Looking unto Jesus. This is the secret for endurance. It's a very simple expression. Looking unto Jesus. Contains no words that are difficult to understand. Looking unto. That means looking off of, looking away from other objects to one object, Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that as I'm running along, I don't see things. I don't see that someone is falling. I don't see the stumbling block. I see those things, but I turn my eyes from that and look unto Jesus. That's what we're to do. Always looking unto Jesus. We are to look away from ourselves unto Jesus. We are to look away from the other runners unto Jesus. We're to look away from all the difficulties and all the oppositions and all the obstacles. Looking away from these things unto Jesus. We're to look away from all the threats of the world. Why, if you follow the Lord in this area, you're going to lose your job. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. If you do such and such, I have nothing to do with you. Looking unto Jesus. Just keep on looking. Looking unto Jesus. There's where our endurance comes from. Looking unto Jesus. This is not merely a casual glance, but it is a continual looking. We have to look away from the threats of the world. We have to look away from the promises of the world. Put little faith in the promises of the world. Put your faith in the promises of God. Looking unto Jesus with a steady, fixed, and intent. Look, just as runners in a race, you keep your eye on the goal. You keep your eye straight ahead, looking unto Jesus. We must look to Him to see what He is. We must look to Him to hear what He speaks. We must look to Him to do what He says. Looking unto Jesus. You look unto Jesus to follow where He leads. It is simply the heart occupied with Christ. That's how we are to run this race. When the way is smooth, when the way is rough, look unto Jesus. When the way is uphill or when the way is downhill, look unto Jesus. When there are many obstacles and when there are no apparent obstacles, look unto Jesus. When the wind is blowing and when the wind is not blowing, look unto Jesus. There is never a time, there is never a circumstance, there is never a condition in this race in which we are not to be looking unto Jesus. Because looking unto Jesus, there's comfort. As I run this race, I need comfort. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, there's hope. Looking unto Jesus, there's joy. This is where we find these things. Looking unto Jesus as we run this race gives us the desire to continue on. Keep in mind, if we do not do these things, lest ye become weary and faint in your minds. You begin to lose your desire. You look unto Jesus. That's where our desire comes from. That's where our strength comes from. Looking unto Jesus is the way to faithfulness. Looking unto Jesus is the way to keep from becoming distracted. Looking unto Jesus is the way to keep running in the right direction. It's important that we're always running in the right direction. And the way to be assured that we're doing that is looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, we are changed into His likeness. Looking unto Jesus, we see Him as our example. He becomes our motivation. And as we look unto Jesus, notice there are four things mentioned that we are to see. There is His motive, who for the joy that was set before Him, What was the joy that was set before Christ? The joy that was set before Christ was simply doing the will of God and glorifying God in doing that will. That was the joy that was set before Him. That was what motivated Him. This will glorify God. It motivated Him. We also see His steadfastness, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Nothing could move Him from doing the Father's will. It was His great love for us that He endured the cross. What are you willing today to endure for Jesus Christ? What are we willing to endure? How much endurance do we have for Christ? Notice His thinking, despising, and that means thinking little of the shame. Jesus Christ thought very little of the shame of the cross. He saw the spitting. He saw the mocking. He saw the scourging. He saw the false accusations. He saw the agony of suffering. He said, that's nothing. He went through those things because they were nothing compared to the joy of simply doing the Father's will. Looking unto Jesus, we see how He thought. And then looking unto Jesus, we see His victory and is set down at the right hand of God. As we look unto Jesus, we do not see one who is defeated. We see one who rose from the dead. We see one who ascended back into heaven and who sits at the right hand of God victorious and is one day coming again victorious. That's what we see when we look unto Jesus. Now, if you want to look at other things, go right ahead. But you look unto Jesus and you will find the encouragement that you need. And you will find the endurance that you need. Fifthly and lastly, run remembering Him. It says, for consider Him. Look unto Him. Consider Him. That is, think about Him. Think about Him very carefully. Give attention to Jesus Christ. Take into account Jesus Christ. As you run the race, meditate upon Him. Every day, try to meditate upon Jesus Christ. Set some time aside where you just meditate on God. Think upon God. A lot of things that we can sit around thinking about. And most of them aren't healthy. But I've never been harmed. It's never hurt me spiritually to think upon God. Never has. Weigh well who he was. Weigh well the place that he took. Weigh well the infinite perfection of his character and his deeds. In other words, in everything you do, in every place that you go, consider him. Take him with you. Take him with you. You that are of dating age, you go on a date, take the Lord with you. That'll help you. In everything, consider the debt that you owe him. Remember who you are. You're a child of God. Don't ever forget that. Remember who it is that you represent. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him. He endured that which was bitter. He endured that which was severe. He endured that which was malicious. He endured everything that the evil wits of men and Satan could invent. He endured it all. He endured the outpoured wrath of Almighty God. He endured Satan himself. He endured betrayal of his closest followers. He endured slander. He endured mockery. He endured the horror of Calvary. He endured it all and never once turned aside from the path of duty. Consider him that endured. He never abandoned his mission. He never abandoned the work that God gave him. Consider him. Consider him. He fainted not. He remained steadfast. He finished the work. How sad to live a Christian life and then right when you get to the end, you quit. How sad. Or you fall. Finish the work which God has given you to do. Paul could look back on his life and he said, I have finished my course. Consider him. Consider his love for your soul. Again, these are the two things where we find endurance. Looking unto him, consider him. Consider the love that he has for your soul. How can that not give you endurance? How can that not want you to press on? Consider him. Oh, but Brother Dan, you don't know what they said about me. I'm sure it wasn't anything worse than they said about Christ. Consider him. Consider him. Consider him. Consider his love for your soul. Consider the fact that he stood in your place as a criminal. Consider the fact that he paid the price that he paid for your soul. Yes, the race is not easy. But looking unto Jesus and considering him, we find the endurance that we need for the race. And freeing ourselves of weight and the entanglements, we find that we're able to run the race. So no matter what your condition today, if you're saved, run the race. Run the race. You don't have to go out and look for a race to run in. The race is already set before you, and it's clearly marked out in the Word of God. You don't need a new rule book. It's all right here. Everything you need to know is right here to run the race. Just run the race. And if you're tired and you're weary, make sure you're not carrying around some weights. Get rid of the weights. Get rid of that which is entangling you. Run the race. We're almost to the finish line. We're almost there. We can see it. We can see the goal. Jesus Christ, we're almost there. Now's not the time to sit down and quit. Run the race. Determine in your heart and mind, I'm going to run the race. No matter what happens, I'm going to run the race. If my health fails, I'm going to run the race. If I lose my spouse, I'm going to run the race.